Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Spring.
You're talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, kiss-stealing,
with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine-wrecking, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Still the first hour, 12:59 on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour in about 35 seconds. We've got a lot to get to. I want to talk about the end of an era, or an era that probably already ended and people just forgot about it.
Oh, okay.
We're going to start the... Okay, now.
Okay.
We're going to start the second hour with the sports question of the day. Dirt, if you could own one item of sports memorabilia, and try to take it outside of your fandom, if
sure.
you could. I
sure.
think it's very easy for somebody to go, well, Marcus Mariota Fiesta Bowl jersey, Terry Baker Heisman season jersey. Take it out of the fandom. If you could pick one item from sports memorabilia, what would you be searching for?
This stems from Lou Gehrig had a bat recently, apparently, that sold for like over $1 million in Dallas in the last couple of weeks, and it was from 1922.
Mm.
So that's kind of where this stemmed from and why I started thinking about it. If you take fandom out, now I threw this on Twitter as well, and a lot of people went with like owning a golf course or give me the Stanley Cup, you know, that kind of thing.
I want to own Augusta.
Yeah, we did have a couple of those. Like, I'll take Augusta now. National, like, I don't know if that technically counts as a piece of sports memorabilia. The Stanley Cup, I guess, is loosely you could count that. That would be pretty badass to have hanging around your house. I would probably go something involving baseball, but if I'm getting away from fandom, I wouldn't go Willie Mays. I would go something Babe Ruth-esque. I think having something from the early 1900s, a bat, a game ball, an autograph. Like, we had somebody text in earlier, it would be so cool, the Murderer's Row baseball from Sandlot that they get at the end of the movie. Like, something like that in a case in your man cave, or an old 1920s baseball jersey that's autographed by whatever your favorite player is. I think that would probably be the first way that I would want to go. Because I think when I think of historic sports memorabilia, it is hard to beat baseball. Because you just don't have the same history in other sports that goes back as far.
Sure don't.
Like golf, you can make an argument for because the major championships that have been around for such a long time. But baseball and basketball have shorter tenures than baseball does. So I think that's where I would initially lean.
Yeah, the Babe Ruth thing I would understand. Also a follow-up to that movie because I saw it a few days ago.
Did you rewatch The Sandlot?
I was a little upset. Like the stepdad... son relationship can always be weird if it's just starting out.
Yeah, he didn't know how to catch either, so the dad was getting a little angry.
Well, and I appreciated the dad's perspective there. Yeah. But he got you a better baseball.
He did.
And you still ended up punishing him. If that was me, and you came and said, hey, I stole the ball that you had, it was valuable to you, this dog destroyed it, but I felt so bad I went on this big excursion. I made a bunch of friends in the summer. I feel comfortable in our community now.
Right.
And here's a better baseball. I would go, well, you know not to ever touch my stuff again, right? Oh, yeah, I learned the lesson along the way. Great. I wouldn't have grounded him for 2 weeks. What are we doing there?
That's a valid point. Now, if the baseball isn't replaced and all the other things, then it's different.
Your ass is grass.
Then you're done for the fall, the summer. You're grounded for a year because you just lost a Babe Ruth autographed baseball.
Well, my three-year-old yesterday, I got home and it was, you know, we keep talking about how nice the weather is. I thought, okay, the kiddos are going to play in the driveway. and I'm going to clean the garage. I really cleaned my garage yesterday. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. But my daughter, my three-year-old, she grabbed a baseball, and I didn't notice it at first. She was kind of throwing it around a little bit and then playing with something else and then grabbing it again. Actually, I noticed it. I grabbed the baseball. It was my Bobby Cox signed baseball.
No, was it really?
Because I haven't gotten a case for it yet.
Right.
And in that moment, I thought, I thought of that movie in that moment, and if you couldn't replace it, then sure.
If she was throwing it around or took it out to the backyard or threw it to the dog.
Right, and it got ruined. yeah. I love where you're going with that. I think that's a pretty kick-ass direction, and largely I think most people would probably pick baseball because, of as you mentioned, it's so iconic and so old.
You can go back 100 years.
I think I'm going Michael Jordan 98 memorabilia from the shot.
The shoes, the shorts, the jersey? What part of the uniform would you want?
I think I'd rather have the jersey. The walk-off Michael Jordan iconic shot.
Final game in Chicago.
Final game as a Bull. Game 6, Russell. All of it. I want the Michael Jordan jersey.
Can you imagine hanging that in your man cave of having like a frame with the jersey in the big part, and then like in the bottom corner you have a picture of him about to release it? When he's during the jump shot, and then him signing the back of the jersey,
and then a picture of him handing me the jersey.
God,
I can't imagine that. That is, because there's been some awesome moments in NBA history, and I think fandom is always going to hold certain moments higher than others. But if I had to label an iconic moment, I don't know. I really don't know if you can label a more iconic moment than him hitting the shot, because
one of the most memorable that comes to my mind.
It capped off a 6-title run with that franchise, like something unparalleled in modern day time that you just, and we haven't seen it replicated.
So some of the ones we had tweeted to us, some of these I really like, although Pinwheel Empire said the Sports Almanac from Back to the Future from 1985, to give you the inside track on the old scoreboard app. That's not a bad theory.
Imagine betting on the Dame game winner game against Houston that they replayed last night on NBC Sports. Imagine being able to bet and lay everything on it, knowing that Dame was going to hit that shot.
You would live bet the hell out of it too, because remember, Houston makes that random shot at the end before the point nine.
Was that Chandler Parsons ended up like a putback or something?
Yeah, it was like an airballed shot. He grabs the rebound and he puts it up, and you think, oh God, they got to go to a game seven.
And there was no confidence going to game seven.
They called timeout, and to be able to live bet in that moment, you could get great odds because the chances of a point nine shot going in are bad. Justin said the game ball from the 1977 Blazers championship. Game ball or the stat sheet from Wilt's 100-point game?
Wilt was 100 was probably one of my second choices, and I would want, again, I want the jersey, because I think a jersey framed looks badass.
It does. Just the look of it in a man cave. Yep. You got the TV there, just the good sports vibes. Nolan Ryan's bloody jersey after the Robin Ventura fight.
Ooh.
That's kind of a random off-the-wall one that would be really cool to own.
I like the under-the-radar moments that you could capture, and people are like, why do you have that? You'd be like, well, let me tell you about Robin Ventura.
What's that red stuff on the jersey? Oh, it's blood from Robin Ventura's face because he got knocked out by Nolan Ryan.
It's like, you remember the kid in the dog movie, Air Bud.
Air Bud, yeah.
I know some people a little older never watched Air Bud, but there's a kid that he like collects the random memorabilia, and he's like, that's Sean Kemp's gum. He threw it away.
Yeah. They also have, that's a new, what is it, a Geico commercial? What TV commercial is that where it's like the fake sports memorabilia guy?
Oh, that's right. He goes, oh, and that's the Houston Rockets. Yeah. And the guy lights up and he goes, that's me drawing with my right hand and me using my left.
It's real tough. You got to use both hands to make them look different. He's like, wait, what? We got MJ Game Worn Jordan 1s in the 1990s tweeted to us. I liked this one, the glove from Willie Mays when he made the catch.
Over the shoulder catch.
Back in the World Series in the 1950s. That would be pretty cool. The autographed picture of it, the glove next to it, that would be awesome. What else we got here? Babe Ruth's contract from back in the day.
Ooh, the sale from the Red Sox to the Yankees.
The sale of the trade. If you want to go.
I thought Bert Sugar told us one time on Primetime he actually has it. He has something of Babe Ruth, either the contract or the trade or something.
Had it
in his study.
Damn.
God, where did that
go? Who got
go?
That in the will of Bert Sugar?
Seriously, man.
Along with a piece of the Hindenburg.
God, that's amazing.
How do you get a piece of the Hindenburg?
He's just Bert Sugar.
Yeah, he gets whatever he wants.
He was maybe the best recurring guest we've ever had.
Oh, that's not even a contest. That's the best guest, I think, in Oregon radio history.
Yeah, like, there's no doubt about that.
It was
that.
Unbelievable.
That was, I had set that to a dial when I could watch Primetime
At a younger rate, I would make sure I never missed a Burt Sugar interview.
Make sure
interview.
You hear every single one. If you want to go movie, somebody said the Wonder Boy bat from The Natural.
Mm.
Bill Walton's jersey from 1977, the one he threw in the air. How about this? Now, this would be sweet. Muhammad Ali's gloves from the first fight against Frazier.
Yep.
Ali, yeah. Gloves and shorts combo would be pretty
badass.
Yeah,
the gloves and shorts of Buster Douglas from knocking Tyson out would be cool.
The ear of Vander Holyfield.
I was thinking the parachute of Fan Man would be cool to
That's
have.
That's a random one. Yeah, random off. What the hell is that? Well, here's a funny story yeah. for you.
Let me tell you about this.
But I think things that there's truly only one of.
Ooh, I got it.
So, because last night I was flipping around and they were showing the Cal Ripken game when he broke the record to get the scorecard, the lineup card that got turned in,
mm-hmm.
and to get Cal to sign it. And then right now on ESPN, they're replaying the 86 Masters. Could you get Nicklaus's fourth round scorecard of his last Masters championship?
Yeah, that'd be pretty iconic.
That would be amazing.
Let me give you a random off the wall one. And I'm not even a fan, so I could technically put this in my bucket. How about the Robo Duck outfit? And then get a mannequin and put it on.
That would be so great for like a Beaver fan to have in their man cave. Just remember this? Remember when this lasted one game? This was their new mascot and he came out of an egg at the 50-yard line? Remember that was their whole marketing idea?
And remember the whole stadium was like, what the hell is going on right now?
Yes, they booed him off the field and he was never to be seen or heard from again.
Or I could go the ego the other way and Oregon State get the Benny the Beaver outfit that gave everybody a staph infection. Hey, don't touch that outfit, but.
Don't go in there. It's not going to end well for you. I would love like oral history, 30 for 30, Oregon sports related of how did the Robo Duck come about? Who thought it was a good idea? Like, just what was the thought? Like, Oregon marketing has been phenomenal for the better part of 20 years. They've done a great job of growing the brand and the Nike tie-in, the Joey Heisman, like all the things that they've done over the years have been fantastic. And then you got that one.
Yeah.
Like, who sat around in a room and thought, you know what's tired and old? Donald Duck. Let's get rid of Donald Duck. Let's bring in a cool 2000s robotic duck.
Let's take Darkwing Duck, and he'll have sex with Donald Duck, and then we'll put that duck that they create together on steroids.
Did that person get fired right away? Was that like a one-week thing? Like next Thursday, it was like, dude, you just pack up your stuff and go.
I don't know if you get fired over that, but I think you need to be relieved of decision-making duties for like a year. You have to sit it out, and you kind of have to be a yes man in the meetings from now on. If you were the one that said, yeah, Robo Duck, that's the way we need to go. You need to take like a 2-week hiatus from decision making for the program.
Dude, we got some incredible ones coming in at the Fantex line. Ric Flair, actual gold championship belt. Imagine a WWF title belt from Ric Flair.
Seriously, though, let me ask you with this one real quick, and I'll let you read some of these off.
Okay.
How close would the Dream Team gold medal, like, where would that be for you?
So here's the thing about that. Whose gold medal would you want?
Pick anybody. Larry, Magic.
Whose would be the most memorable from that team? Would it be Magic? Because that was after the AIDS thing happened,
but
right?
But that was really Larry's. Larry could barely even participate.
Yeah, his back was no longer working.
He was shot at that point.
So that would be the only issue there is whose would you want? Because you wouldn't want like, hey, they made an extra one and I got it. You would want one of the players' gold medal from that.
Couldn't you just take Christian Leitner's and Photoshop yourself into the team picture with it?
You could, because you probably had as much of an impact on that gold medal as Christian Leitner. How about the piece of Evander Holyfield's ear?
I literally just said that a minute ago.
Oh, did
and
you
half
really?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm terrible at paying attention.
God.
Muhammad Ali championship belt. What else we got here?
Championship belt would be pretty badass because you could frame it and then randomly take it out and wear it if you
could.
You could
wear it around the house.
Put on your robe and then just put the belt around the robe.
A lot of different green jackets that are texted in. I know Swag brought up a Nicklaus scorecard, but you could go Tiger green jacket like the last one that he wore. Random people that have won Masters as well.
Let's read some more of these. The fan text line 55305. And then I want to get to this segment today. It's the end of an era, but I have made this argument. I think it actually ended and people just didn't know it was still going on. I'll tell you what that is next on The Fan. All right, we'll get to our Blazer bracket coming up at the bottom of the hour. By the way, Governor Kate Brown just put an announcement out that there will be no more in-person education for the rest of the school year.
That's not a shock. Jay Inslee just announced that earlier this week, I think, for Washington.
Yeah, in our house, we've largely accepted that that's probably what it was going to be.
Yeah, you're just hoping that schools will be back in session in September.
That's the goal, man. It's, if it takes another month of social distancing and quarantining to get to that point, that would be my one message. If you really care about football and sports is a big deal for your life, whether it's an escape or, you know, whatever the reason, we may need to take one more month where we really get this under control as much as we possibly can to give ourselves the best chance of having sports in our life, along with the normalcy, jobs being brought back, etc.
Yeah, I've seen some Southern politicians have tried to relate to SEC football fans by saying that, like, if you don't take this seriously, we're going to lose college football. Like, they've used that, the ones that are taking it seriously, as their message to get through to people.
Didn't the Alabama governor, she's an older gal, she came out, and I think I saw her at a podium, but she was like, if you want football,
you like the Crimson Tide.
It's like, yeah, we do want football bad.
35 years.
Some good ones. This one was almost my pick. Magic's jersey after the 1980 Game 6 final, where he played as a rookie. Kareem didn't play because of an injury, and he was amazing. It's the iconic hook shot in the paint that he hits that kind of wins the game against Philly.
Yeah.
So that'd be one of mine. Tiger's ball that sunk the final putt in last year's Masters would be amazing.
See, here's the thing. Like, if I'm going golf memorabilia, I think the ball might be last on my list. I would almost want to go, a scorecard would be up there for me. If you're talking Masters, like getting one of those green jackets, if you could buy one of those in like 70 years, that would be incredible. Also, I'm sure those guys get like the flag from 18 at Augusta, so they get the yellow flag and you could get that autograph like from the 18th hole. I think I'd rather have that than the golf ball.
Let's see.
Now, the bigger question is, now you asked this before the show and I thought it was an interesting one. How many people, so I'll just use the most recent one for example, because there's a lot of these things that sell, like a lot of Babe Ruth stuff I was reading about that is sold for over $1 million. So the reason this was brought up, we're asking this, is because a baseball bat used by Lou Gehrig, which, by the way, there's a picture of it. It's awesome. It's just old school, dark brown, just looks sweet, right? It was used in 1922, and it was just sold for over $1 million in Dallas this last weekend. How many of you out there, if you have that bat passed down to you in your family, are selling it? And how many of you are holding on to it?
I think I'm selling it.
You're selling it?
If you're getting over a mil, I know I can buy something else of Lou Gehrig's that might cost $100,000.
Buy like a cool Lou Gehrig game-worn jersey or
something. I can get something to replace it at a much lesser value, obviously, but something to keep the tradition going while also benefiting from my family's smart thinking.
If that was, because that's a whole, like, if you don't need, because we're going down the hypothetical of you have an unlimited budget to go buy whatever piece of memorabilia that you need, which is fun, because a lot of these that we're texting in either A, aren't feasible, or B, cost a lot of money.
Right. Most of them are not feasible.
Most of them aren't feasible. This one, though, this is a more realistic one, I think, of like you're cleaning out the attic one day and you come across, like, or, you know, your grandparents pass away and you're like going through their garage and you're like, what the hell is this? And you get it appraised and it's a Lou Gehrig game used baseball bat from 1922.
Yeah.
In good condition. They're like, well, you could fetch $1 million for that. And as badass as it would look in your man cave, like in a cool case up on the wall or above, you know, above your TV or something like that, it would be really hard to not sell that thing.
I'll say this, one final thought for me on that. I think saying you'd sell it versus actually having it in your possession, maybe having a moment with your uncle or your father and they hand it to you, I think it is much harder and nearly impossible for a lot of people to follow through with getting rid of that.
I'm with you on that. If it's like an emotional pass down, like, hey, your great-grandfather got this, and he gave it to your grandfather, who gave it to your dad, who gave it to you, and like this is a family lineage thing, that's a completely different can of worms.
The amount of people I see on Pawn Stars in Vegas that come in and go, yeah, this is my great-grandma had this and then gave it to my mom. Gave it to my grandma, and then my grandma gave it to my mom, and now she gave it to me. And they sell it for like $10,000 and then walk out.
God,
the amount of people who don't care tells me all I need to know about those people.
Right. How desperate they are for a little cash influx.
Even getting $1 million for something, I would probably walk out feeling terribly guilty.
Just knowing that you sold it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for the one that I brought up something Babe Ruth, like there, the one that sold recently of his was a bat that he used to hit his first home run at Yankee Stadium. It sold in 2004. But the bat, so the first home run he hit in Yankee Stadium, the bat he used to hit it sold for $1.3 million.
Yeah.
1.3. Imagine having that bad boy.
Let me ask you or bring this up real quick, because I know we won't get to this at any other time in the show.
Okay.
It's the end of an era. But I largely forgot about this, and I would argue a lot of people did. Did you know Modern Family's ending after 11 seasons tonight.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not a big Modern Family watcher.
Yeah.
So it's one of those shows, like, if you stumble across it and you end up watching an episode, I'm not mad about it.
You're watching it on USA Network on a Friday at 11 o'clock because you just don't want to look for anything else, and you're okay watching it.
I'm flipping around. I haven't seen the remote in like a half hour. I don't want to change it every time a commercial comes up.
Yep.
And it might be an episode from 2012 or whatever, but I'm roped in. I'm going to watch that episode.
11 seasons.
It's a long time.
I thought that show ended 3 seasons ago. I didn't even know they were still going.
I had no clue they were still going. What's the story with the younger girl? I remember her being in the news. Didn't she want, like, breast reduction surgery? That was, like, the last headline I remember from that show.
The gal with glasses?
Yeah, she's still on the show?
Ariel Winter?
Yeah.
She's still on the show.
Okay, they were, like, messing up her back.
Well, she got, like, emancipated, and then she went through a thing. I think she had breast reduction surgery. She was a controversial figure for that show because her Instagram was a lot of pictures of her in like a thong bikini.
And
a lot of ass shots.
Yeah, and they wanted to keep the child probably image alive for the show, I'd imagine.
You know, she became her own person as she got older. But yeah, it's kind of weird because you watch season one and she's like 9.
Yeah, she was. Yeah,
and
so
now
she,
it's like she's 22.
Yeah, she's 22 now. Yeah, so if the show is on for 11 seasons, they probably filmed for longer than 11 years. That's weird to think about.
Very weird.
Those kind of shows are strange. And we all have that from our childhood where you grow up watching a show as a kid and you see them, the girl actor as like an 8 or 9 year old, and then you watch that show for like 10, 12 years. It's just that's a weird dynamic.
Especially when they become really hot.
Yes, it's a weird, because then you always picture them as their younger selves. You can't get that out of your mind.
So let me ask you this. Even if a lot of our listeners didn't watch Modern Family, and admittedly, I only watched reruns.
I bet a lot of people watch that show.
There's a reason it's been on 11 seasons.
Right,
they pull good numbers.
And it is like when I stumble across it and watch, it is a funny show. I'll get
absolutely.
That.
Yeah. No doubt. It's got Ty Burrell, right?
Yeah.
The Oregon guy.
Yeah.
Is this the last we see of Ed O'Neill?
Oh,
I think this is, and it's something I didn't think about until I saw that this was their series finale.
He is 73 years old.
73. I really think this is the last you see of Ed O'Neill. So you may not be a big fan.
That's a whole nother sad, road to go down.
Well, it is. It's super sad, but it's also the reality, right? Like, we loved him as Al Bundy.
Mm-hmm.
He was in some movie roles, and then he comes back into our life for 11, 12 years as Jay Pritchard. We may never see him again.
It's really the only thing that he's done in the last decade. I pulled up his IMDb page.
Well, he's probably making
a stupid amount
of money.
Yeah,
on that show.
He's made he did a voice for Wreck-It Ralph. He's shown up in appearances and, he did one episode of Family Guy, an episode of Entourage, just kind of random stuff like that. But nothing of significance.
He's 73. I didn't know he was 73.
He's 73 years old. So to answer your question, this is probably it for him in terms of a serious role. Like, he might pop up and do interviews every now and then.
I don't know, man. He's not seen a lot.
That's true.
He's really. I remember hearing his voice in Wreck-It Ralph, and I was like, oh, that's Ed O'Neill.
I know that guy.
That's Al Bundy.
Come on, man. That's Ed O'Neill.
And sometimes you lose an iconic TV person. So I'm rewatching on the word of a friend of ours who works in Omaha.
Uh-huh.
He watched The Good Place, which was on NBC. And I basically gave up on network television once The Office got stupid. But I'll give things a try. And he says it was a great show. It's much like Parks and Rec. So I thought, okay, this is cool.
I'll dive into that.
So me and my 8-year-old, we started watching it. And yesterday, we're wrapping up the last episode on Netflix before they catch up on season 4. Ted Danson's a star in that show. And I thought, Ted Danson is going to go. He's one of the more iconic TV actors of all time. And I'm going to be really sad when I don't get to see Ted Danson anymore.
He's still doing shows like that, huh?
Well, he does that. And then he still does Curb.
I know he does Curb. Yeah. He's a hilarious character in Curb.
He's a man's man.
He is a man's man. That's a good point. Him in this last season was really funny. The way him and Larry battled about Cheryl and the dating, and then when he used the toothbrush when they go to Mexico and he thought they were hooking up again, but they did hook up earlier in the season. Like, their relationship I have always enjoyed on that show. That's another one, too. Yeah, you just a long-term TV star that's going to be weird when he's no longer in shows.
So this is probably a really silly question. I think our listeners are going to identify with Al Bundy. Do you think he's going to be more remembered, Ed O'Neill, for Modern Family or Married with Children?
I mean, that's got to be a generational split, right? For younger people? Like, how many
younger people aren't watching network television?
No,
wouldn't
but I would
say that's the argument.
I would say younger people, though, probably watch more Modern Family than do Married with Children. Married with Children was done in 1997.
Oh, I thought it was earlier than that.
No, I put on his IMDb page, it says it went
started in 87.
87 though. To yeah. 97, and had a 10-year run. So for me, it'll always be Al Bundy, because I watched that show as a kid. That was like one of the first kind of...
It was kind of controversial kids watched that show.
Kind of a cutting-edge show to watch as a kid. That was the first one you see some hot chicks on there occasionally. That was a good show for children of our era.
Yeah, Katie Sagal, hello.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I was always jealous of Al Bundy.
So I'll always go Al Bundy, more recognizable. Is he the most popular character in Modern Family?
No.
See, that's the other thing. Like, he was Married
with
Children.
Most popular maybe with people like UI Swag and some of our listeners because we knew him as Al Bundy.
Sure.
But I wouldn't say on that show he was the most popular.
He is I love his character, Married with Family, too. He cracks me
up. The gay couple's pretty popular because that was a progressive thing to do when that show started. It was like, hey, let's have a gay couple front and center as the stars of the show.
In 2009 was when it started.
But Ty Burrell, pretty, you know. Likeable dad character, goofy idiot.
I remember my first thought when I watched that show was trying to figure out and connect the dots in my mind of who his wife was and where I had seen her before. Right? And it was like one of those, like, I know who is she? She was in another movie.
Same here.
And you slowly connect the dots. That's right. Happy Gilmore. And it all comes together. But it took me a while.
All right. P1 Raymond says, screw Katie Sagal. What about Christina Applegate? I mean, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean.
But I always had a thing for the older ladies.
Sure.
I always wanted the Cougars.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
It was a win-win for me.
Yeah, that was a good show.
All right, coming up next, our Blazer bracket, the favorite Blazer of all time.
Hey, text in the fan text line. If you like Ted Danson, watch Bored to Death on HBO. Second best role to Sam Malone in Cheers. That was always one that I heard good things about, but I never watched.
Who else is in that? I've seen that on HBO before.
It's that dude with the mole on the front of his face. Is it like Jason Schwartzman?
Yes.
That's the guy. Is that his name? Did I get it right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's got Galifianakis.
Yes, and I always heard that show was funny, but I never watched. You know another one that's in that same line for me that now that I'm on quarantine, I might as well start watching is Barry.
Barry's a good show.
I've heard Barry's great, and I haven't watched any of it yet.
It has moments where it gets super dark, it's light, it's funny.
He's like an assassin that's trying to be a comedian, right? That's the, in a nutshell?
An actor.
Okay, He's trying to be an actor. Gotcha. Yeah, so those are a couple that, Ted Danson, man, what a legend. What a legend. All right, we ready to get to some matchups for the favorite Blazer of all time bracket?
Sure.
Now, it should be noted, Will the Thrill Darkens is working from home currently. We sent him the bracket. He said that he can get it up on the website.
Okay.
So he is, I have been refreshing 1080thefan.com, though, and I have not seen anything yet.
What, did he give you a timeline?
No, I didn't know how long it was going to take, but I sent it to him this morning when I got in, and he said, okay, I'll be able to get it up. I said, okay. But I haven't seen anything yet, so...
He needs to chew it and do it.
He needs to chew it and do it and Blue Chew that thing up onto the website.
Can't get it up. You got problems.
But what I will do is, so you can get a glimpse of the entire bracket, is I have like a crappily written handwritten one that I will tweet out at Dirt and Sprague if you want to go see the entire thing. And that is what Will is using to put up on the website.
Okay, so I was a little... curious, like, we're starting the voting, but we don't have the bracket up yet.
Yes, because the reason I felt okay about that is there's only one close matchup today.
Okay.
And the other three are blowouts that we'll get to in a moment. But
yeah, pretty predictable blowouts.
There's only one, I think, compelling one that's actually out there right now. So we'll start with some of the blowouts, and I'm assuming we're on. I'll give you some of these numbers, though. They're actually kind of funny. So we have four. The way we broke it down, we have four different regions. Those regions are the OG region, which I went basically start of the franchise to early 80s, 1980-ish is kind of what I was thinking there. You have the Jailblazer region, which was, you know, mid-90s to early 2000s, of course. You have the Glory Days region, which I went late 80s to kind of mid-90s.
Right.
Your last time you had a legit shot at winning a title. And then your Modern Era, which is, you know, last 15 years or so. Your Brandon Roy's, your Damian Lillard's, that kind of stuff, right? So we'll start in the OG region. This one's fun. The number one seed in the OG region is Maurice Lucas, 1976 to 1980. He's taking on Dave Twardzik. Right now, over 200 votes on this thing, closing in on 250. It is 97.4 to 2.6%.
That might as well be 100-0. no offense to Dave. Maurice Lucas is the enforcer, and I won't be stunned if Maurice Lucas ends up putting up a hell of a fight.
He's a dark horse
to
here.
Win this thing.
For a one seed, I guess you can't label him a dark horse, but his name has not been brought up much in the compiling of this bracket. So that is pretty overwhelming. I think I was like the 45th person or something to vote on it, and it was 100-0.
Yeah.
Because I voted for Maurice Lucas as well.
Who's voting for Dave there? Did Dave's family get a hold of the Twitter poll?
He's got 2.6% of his offspring that apparently lives in the market and listens to the show, and they're voting for him. Nothing against Dave Twardzik either. He was a big part of the championship team. By the way, same timeline. They both got here in 1976 and left in 1980, but I did chuckle at that blowout.
Hashtag good timing, by the way.
Yeah, seriously. Next one up, this goes to the Jailblazer region. This is the 2-7 matchup in that region. You got Arvydas Sabonis, 1995 to 2003, taking on Bonzi Wells, who won the play-in game, 1998 to 2004. This one, a measly 94.9% for Arvydas, as opposed to 5.1% for Bonzi Wells.
He's not my Vetus. He's not your Vetus. He's our Vetus. And I'm surprised this also was in at 100-0.
Yeah, who's voting for Bonzi Wells over Arvydas?
Never, even in his best moments as a Blazer, I never liked Bonzi more than Sabonis.
So Sabonis, it was fun to go back and look at some of his numbers. If you forgot, when he came over in 95, he was already 31 years old. That's one of the bigger what-ifs in Blazer history of if he would have come over sooner. But just his number, 14.5 and 8 boards, 13 and 8. And then in 1998, he averaged 16 and 10, 12 and 8, 12 and 8 again. And then retired, of course, in 2001, 2002, came back and played in 02, 03, coming off the bench in that last year. But
he was one of those, like, we knew how good he was, even beat up and slow. But it was always, damn, I wish we would have got this 10 years prior.
Yeah, young Sabonis coming over.
And I always felt that, like, his ability, his passing ability, his shooting ability, and kind of just his big body, especially in the era of big centers like Shaq, mm-hmm. etc., I always felt like we loved him more than the production warranted.
Yeah, I'm with you a little bit on that.
Like, I rewatched Game 7. He's awful in that 2000 games. He did next to nothing. And it was a reminder for me of like, oh yeah, he had a lot of those nights where he'd have like one or two sick dimes.
Yeah, cool pass behind the
but
back.
But largely would walk out like, yeah. Well, Arvydas finished with 8, 5, and 3. And you're right. Okay.
He just couldn't move the way that he could in his earlier days. But the Shaq thing was always interesting too, because there just weren't many bodies in the NBA that were big enough to go toe-to-toe with Shaq. And it wasn't like he dominated him, but he was one of the rare bodies in the NBA that could just at least size up with him.
Well, yeah, I mean, Shaq still largely dominated Sabonis in the stat sheet, but seeing them battle in a down low on the block,
trying to back down Sabonis on the low block.
He really was one of a kind, and he was just as big as Shaq, and Shaq was like able to move him because Sabonis was so slow and so much older and banged up, but yeah, watching how big he was compared to Shaq in the prime of Shaq, it's a reminder of, oh yeah, one of the largest human beings I've ever seen.
Yeah, and you also had the fact that in those playoff battles, he was probably almost a decade younger than Sabonis too at that time, or somewhere in that range.
Oh, absolutely, because even when you rewatch Yao and Shaq, when Yao got to the league, and Yao's 7'6", yeah, he's taller, but you would still watch Shaq and go, yeah, Yao's given up 30 pounds here, and Shaq's doing whatever he wants.
He can go around him with ease. Next one up, another blowout. This goes to the Glory Days region. Again, looking at kind of late 80s to mid 90s in this region. The 3-6 matchup is Cliff Robinson, who was here from 1989 to 1997. I've labeled it. I'm putting him all the way through in my bracket. He's my favorite Blazer of all time. He's taking on Jim Paxson, who was here from 1979 to 1988. So came in at the very end, missed that championship run by a little bit, but then had a great career in Portland. So far this one, Cliff Robinson up 87.2% to 12.8%.
Yeah, no offense to Jim Paxson, another no-brainer to me.
Yeah, so you got three blowouts going on. Maurice Lucas, Arvydas Sabonis, and Cliff Robinson. You can go vote on all these at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan. We'll have it up on the website at some point today. Now, here's where it gets interesting. And people are hot and bothered by this right now.
Why are they hot and bothered?
There's a lot of hot and bothered people on Twitter.
Okay.
So this goes to the modern era region. I'm trying to do one of each matchup. So a 1-8, a 2-7, a 3-6, and a 4-5 every day to keep it somewhat balanced, not all blowouts. This is the 4-5 matchup in the modern era region. The 4 seed is LaMarcus Aldridge, here from 2006 to 2015, taking on the 5 seed, CJ McCollum, here from 2013, of course, to present. Currently right now at 296 votes, This is a 50-50 split. And the responses are very angry that LaMarcus Aldridge is putting up a fight to potentially win this matchup.
Why?
LaMarcia is soft, like ice cream, so hell no. Another one, who are these people voting for Aldridge? Do they not remember how he burned us on his way out of town? As far as I'm concerned, he's persona non grata around these parts.
He burned us?
He burned us on his way out. And another one just simply says, F Aldridge. So those are some of the responses to the tweet. But right now, and Aldridge, by the way, just took a slight lead, so we just got like 10 more votes. 51.1 to 48.9. Where do you go? Aldridge or CJ?
I think the outrage here is mainly driven by CJ has signed two contracts now and LaMarcus didn't commit in 2014. Other than that, what other argument are you making? Isn't that really the difference for the people who hate that Aldridge is competing in this?
It's the way he left in free agency.
Right? It's a free agent contract decision that CJ, kind of like Dame, has stood the test of his time so far and said, I want to stay here. I want to play here. I want to live here. And he's agreed to multiple contracts. If you took that out of the equation, is it still controversial to people? Because I don't think it is. If LaMarcus wins, and by the way, this is easily the best matchup.
This is going to be a fun one down the stretch.
Because CJ could play here for another 5 years, and we're going to have to do some real thinking of where does CJ stack up all-time career with Portland? Because he's going to pass a lot of people in different stat departments. And so I think that's a conversation obviously further down the road. But right now, today, as we sit, CJ had the Denver series. LaMarcus did have the Houston series.
He did have the Houston series.
And to dismiss that or act like it doesn't matter because LaMarcus chose San Antonio over us.
Well, there's no, like, LaMarcus is the better player, clear and simple.
Yeah, to me too.
Like, LaMarcus is the better player. Yeah. I don't even know if that's
But one's an all-star, one's not.
Right. So... Yeah, so you have that going
it's
for you.
To me, the outrage is not so much that CJ is so far and away better. To me, the outrage really stems from the commitment and contract situations between the two and how they dealt with them when they were in Portland.
The way I'm trying to view these is I'm trying to view them through the angle of how I felt about them when they were here.
Yes.
Right? That's how I'm going. When they were a Blazer and they were in a Blazer uni, were they a fan favorite of mine? How did I feel about that player? And so it might be controversial to some. I voted for LaMarcus Aldridge.
I voted for LaMarcus, too.
So did I.
Yeah.
I think CJ, there's still the prospect of the potential of what he could be. But in terms of what he's done, the amount of injuries that he's had to deal with in his career. And, I mean, LaMarcus, there were a few years there where he shouldered the bulk of the responsibility for the team till Dame got here.
Dude, I looked it up. I looked it up because I was talking to somebody on the phone. I looked up the stats. Outside of Dirk, who played power forward basically out of necessity,
Sure. You
could make an argument he was the best power forward in the NBA as a Blazer for 2 or 3 years because Blake was still too young and you didn't really have a player. Kevin Love was a young player in Minnesota that his numbers sometimes would look fine, but they didn't win. You make an argument, we had the best power forward here for about 2 seasons with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to me, I get it. But the whole, like, on what Swag's saying, the potential of CJ has always been this debate or topic with him. Until he goes to a different team, I have no faith that we're seeing CJ without Dame, CJ, that version of CJ with Dame.
Sure.
As long as he is a Blazer, as long as they're together, that untapped potential or whatever we saw when Dame got hurt, I just don't have faith that we're going to see that as long as he's wearing the uni with Damian Lillard. We would have to see that if he's elsewhere.
The unique thing for me is if you would have asked this question last year at this time, let's say we're going through this quarantine. Well, I guess last year we hadn't had the Denver series yet, but if we had done this bracket last summer after the Denver series.
But the playoffs just started, right?
Sure. If that was fresh in my mind, I would have probably voted for CJ. This year soiled me a lot on him. It just did. There are times when if you're one of the faces of a franchise that you need to step up and take on a bigger role and bigger responsibility. And that's something that I will always argue for with LaMarcus Aldridge, because you consider what he came into in Portland, the promise and the hope and the potential to have the center that was supposed to play alongside him for a decade and win titles crumble after 2 years, and to have the guard who he was supposed to be a tandem with for his entire career as a guard forward combo go down after a couple of seasons and not be able to stay healthy. When all of that crumbled around LaMarcus Aldridge, he never became the fan favorite because of I think the lacking personality in public, and he didn't do a lot of interviews. He wasn't overly well-spoken, right? He just didn't have that.
He's an introvert. He's an extreme introvert.
Super introvert, yeah. Right? So yeah. I think that always hurt him a little bit. But you can never criticize as the player that he turned into and the way he helped kind of usher from that Brandon Roy era to the Damian Lillard era. He got better every single year when it was asked of him, and you haven't been able to say that as CJ McCollum. So I voted for L.A. You can go vote at Dirt and Sprague and at 1080 The Fan right now. So 51%, 51.7 to 48.3. So that's the only close matchup of the day. We'll keep you updated on it coming up in the final hour. Your thoughts are welcome as well at 55305. Let's get to a bit of broadcasting news, and I'm wondering, how is this going to work? We'll do it next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. And don't worry, while they're temporarily closed, they want you to maintain your workouts. So go to crunchlive.com and use your login credential and get your workout on your phone, TV, or tablet. I got a workout in this morning. Sprague's going for a run after the show. Beautiful running weather out there.
Oh, it's going to be nice.
70 plus, man. Whew, good times. Okay, lots to get to in the final hour of the show. We have horse news. Anybody cares about that? Woo-hoo! We also have...
I just got through the Sopranos where Tony lost Pie, oh my.
Oh, yeah.
He just got his painting and now he's pissed. He wants the painting burned. He killed Ralph over it.
Yeah.
This show is awesome, by the way.
The Sopranos is incredible.
Like, I haven't dove into all the things I've wanted to watch. I have a lot of nights where I haven't rewatched a sporting event. Man, watching The Sopranos, I feel so stupid that I'm so late to this party.
I had that recently with The Wire as well, because I didn't watch The Wire initially when it was on TV, and I probably just finished all of it about a year ago, getting through all of it, and it was just one of those, like, every season you went on, and you're like, how did I miss this?
Also, Carmella bothers me.
Yeah, she drives me nuts.
Like,
isn't
really
it amazing
bad.
In shows like that where you should feel sympathy for her?
I do to a certain degree, but she knows what she's married
to. She does, and she knew what she was getting into to a certain extent.
To act offended or shocked by his actions is pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to sleep with his driver now. And
oh, the Italian bro just came in, huh?
Furio,
whatever the hell his name is.
It's ending now. She just cut her hair, and I think it ruined everything.
Yeah. That was kind of a weird, awkward scene for a while there. God, how many seasons do you have left? Is there two?
I'm starting 5.
How many were there? I can't remember.
Well, it says 6A, 6B, or 6-1.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They broke the final season into two parts.
So I'm almost done.
Okay.
God. I'm getting there.
It just keeps getting better.
Chris is now in rehab.
Yeah.
He became quite addicted to heroin and killed a dog.
Yeah, things didn't go well for him there for a while either. God, that's great. I love people when they go back and rewatch stuff and you get to remember some of those moments.
Well, I was one of those, I would not admit... For whatever reason, not to be cool or whatever, but like at a younger age, I'd act like I'd seen it. And I'd always do the pushback against Tony Soprano as the best TV actor. Oh, no, he's not. Come on. It's this guy, that guy. Tony Soprano is the best TV character of all time.
It's hard to think of a better one. He was as good as it gets. Yeah. All right, let's get to this. Speaking of TV, this one is kind of weird. And Herb Street's pushed back on it a little bit, but I'm just curious what the initial thought was. Andrew Marchand of the New York Post is floating that ESPN is considering moving Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler to the Monday Night Football booth.
Ugh.
How do we feel about that?
Well, I don't know if it was in that same report or a similar report. They were also considering a 3-man booth with Steve Levy, Dan Orlovsky, and Lewis Riddick, which I would be all in favor for. I think that would be kind of fun.
I do not think a 3-man booth works for Monday Night Football anymore. I like those names, though. I like Orlovsky. I like Riddick. Steve Levy would be like the...
I like Levy. I just don't know if I like him as a primetime play-by-play guy.
Right, but to me, I would equate him to what Mike Patrick was for Sunday Night Football years ago on ESPN.
Yeah, because Levy does... He usually does... I think he does one of the early morning college football, like one of those
like
9 a.m.
Greasy
starts. And I think he's... He will let you know what's going on in the game. He'll keep, but if a game's out of hand, he can bring levity and he's not afraid to have a little fun in there, and as opposed to trying to keep it serious all the time.
So it sounds like the reason they're considering the Herb Street Fowler move, and I don't know what it would mean for their college football production in the short term. It sounds like they would want them to do both. So do the Saturday night game of the week, and this is all obviously hoping that a season happens. Do the Saturday night game of the week and then potentially the Monday night game as well. But part of the reason is that they are making an eight-figure offer to Drew Brees in the hopes that he will commit to a role with Monday Night Football for when he is retired. We don't know how long that's going to be. So so that's part of the thinking, too, is that maybe right. Drew Brees plays one more year. If he plays two more years, you just do a different booth for 2 years. You don't commit to anything long term. And then Brees is waiting there in the wings.
I'm wondering if ESPN is, you know, as iconic and great as they are. It's so easy to quarterback this thing from Portland, Oregon, when you're a midday sure. radio host,
you have
right?
millions of dollars on the line for yes. Monday Night Football.
But in doing it from that perspective, I have long been wondering, is there really no broadcasters out there? Like I thought we were at a place where getting into broadcasting was near impossible and tough. And based on what you read about of who they want to do this, it's almost like, well, is there nobody else available? Like if I ever had an opportunity to be on a conference call with ESPN to say, hey, what would you do? Just curious. And they'd never use my idea. I would say I would be throwing a ton of money at Ian Eagle.
Yeah.
I would take one of the prominent football voices
network. Not a primetime. He's a second or third string guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Ian Eagle on Monday Night Football with Dan Orlovsky or Lewis Riddick would be awesome.
Well, he's got a CBS contract, so I'm guessing those things are a little harder because he also does college basketball and other things. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's a little harder if you have a non-compete or
sure.
whatever else they got you tied up in of undoing those on short notice.
But they tried to trade for Al Michaels for the second time. We know trades exist in media.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, they must not view anybody else worthy of a trade outside of Al Michaels. And their thought is just replay what we heard Saturday night, but put it in the NFL, to which, again, Herb Street's good. Herb Street's really good. Fowler, I like Fowler more as like a studio host. I think he's awesome in that game day role.
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me as a big time announcer.
You're so invested in college football that can you be as invested from a play-by-play national Monday Night Football voice?
That's a tough ask.
On college football yeah. and the NFL, because there's so many kids to know in college football that Herb Street's so dialed in. I'm always impressed by it.
You know, what's weird too. I feel like, and look, a lot of industries are copycat industries. Sports is one of them, right? Like when you get the team, like when you hire a commentator to be an NBA coach and it works, and then everybody else is like, well, let's go do that. That's the new trend. Or Major League Baseball, for a while, their trend was hiring guys right after they retire and young player managers and that went from playing right into managing. That was kind of the trend and it worked and everybody followed it. It feels like broadcast companies like ESPN now are going the route of Tony Romo has worked so well going straight from the field to the broadcast booth. Let's follow that. And they have been trying to throw millions of dollars at Peyton Manning, who continues to say no, and he turned him down again this offseason, saying, I don't want to do it, probably because he's set financially. He doesn't want the extra workload. He's fine doing his thing on ESPN Plus, his little Manning show. Like, maybe he's not ready for that kind of level of commitment in terms of broadcasting. Like, what do we know about Drew Brees as a broadcaster? I tend to think he'd be good, but have we ever heard Drew Brees broadcast a game? Like, doing color commentary is a very difficult job. It's one thing just to be smart about football. It's another to be able to put that into a broadcast to the place where people can understand. Like, Tony Romo was mm-hmm. He was the grand slam. It worked perfectly. He sees things coming. He's well-spoken. He's got a good sense of humor.
He just took a different approach, though. I think he was natural. And when he did the play prediction, right, the Oakland-Tennessee right. game, when he was introduced to the world, and he was like, Jim, they're running on the left. Like, he just identified it, and he did something that we just hadn't seen.
It was new.
It really was. Yeah. Like, the prediction of plays or explaining the formation of where this team's leaning of executing a play. I mean, Collinsworth and Aikman and Deersdorf and all these legendary color commentators have been great in their own way. He just did it so different. And it wasn't, I don't think he had this like, I'm going to be different. I think Tony Romo just had a microphone and was Tony Romo. Like, I bet you Romo does that when he watches mm-hmm,
right.
games on
tape.
Oh, here
he comes. We're going to run it. Here we go.
Yeah,
he's like, sitting there at home. Yeah.
They have trips right. Yeah. They're going to throw to the left. You know what I mean? Like, he just took that And that's who he is. And it was so unique and so different, and it caught on. Yeah, to what you're saying, I think networks were like, well, we got to get the next that.
Got to get the next guy. Well, it goes to your point, too, of like broadcasters not being around. Like Lewis Riddick is a great broadcaster, and he would be a great color analyst for Monday Night Football. Kurt Warner already does Monday Night Football on the radio side. Hiring him to be full-time on ESPN.
Imagine Ian Eagle with Kurt Warner.
That'd be a great Monday Night Football booth. Like, and you're trying to just chase after this next big name that's about to retire. I would know. Maybe it ends up working. Maybe Breeze is, they sign a contract and he does it after he retires and he ends up being a huge thing in broadcasting. But it feels like there's better alternatives in the short term than potentially doing Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler. What do you make of that? 55305 is the fan text line. That sure would be weird to hear those guys on Monday Night Football. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, don't worry. You can go get a workout on at crunchlive.com. If you don't have your online credentials, go to members.crunch.com/members/sign up to get started. They look forward to seeing you at the gym when they open back up. Lots to get to in the final hour. Tom Brady did a sit-down interview with Howard Stern. We'll go through some of the stuff he had to say today. We have a new NBA idea to try and get fans interested. Will it get you interested? And we have a statter story to get to. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.